Сейчас вы будете выполнять задание по аудированию. Каждый текст прозвучит два раза. После первого и второго прослушивания у вас будет время для выполнения и проверки заданий. Все паузы включены в аудиозапись. Остановка и повторное воспроизведение аудиозаписи не предусмотрены. Задание 1. Вы услышите 6 высказываний. Установите соответствие между высказываниями каждого говорящего AF и утверждениями, данными в списке 1-7. Используйте каждое утверждение, обозначенное соответствующей цифрой, только один раз. В задании есть одно лишнее утверждение. Вы услышите запись дважды. Занесите свои ответы в таблицу. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием. Now we're ready to start. Speaker A.
The Calgary Stampede is held for 10 days in July. We call it the largest outdoor show on earth. Over 1 million visitors attend it every year. There's a rodeo, wagon racing, agricultural exhibitions and concerts. Come and see for yourself. And apart from having a great time, you will also support our social and educational programs. As a percentage of all the money we spend at the Stampede, from parking and admission to foods and drinks, goes there.
Speaker B.
The Notting Hill Carnival in London is a Caribbean festival. I went to see it with my mum when I was 5. The only thing I remember, though, is that it was terribly crowded. No wonder. After all, it's one of the biggest street festivals in the world. Stupidly, I wandered off, but due to the deafening music, I couldn't hear Mum calling my name. I was carried away by the moving crowd and got lost. I was so terrified that I didn't go back to the festival for years after that.
Speaker C.
My first Glastonbury was in 1984. It was the coolest music festival of all, and cheap at only £13. Over the years, I saw all my favourite bands there live. Great bands they were, too. Quality music. Now the tickets are over £200, and some of the performers are, well, let's just say they're not my cup of tea. And the people who go there, so-called celebrities who want to be seen at something cool. I stopped going years ago.
Speaker D.
Several years ago, I was in St. Petersburg during the White Nights Festival. There was so much to see and do. Romantic strolls by the banks of the river and canals on warm summer nights. The streets full of happy faces. And such a wealth of events. Magnificent classical ballet and opera performances by the greatest artists, as well as a concert by the Rolling Stones. And, unbelievably, I watched a pretend naval battle with pirates in boats on the River Neva.
Speaker E.
There's nothing like Apellihar, I tell you. A fire festival in Scotland. There's a torch-lit procession to show the sun's return after the winter solstice. The torchbearers are all dressed as fierce Viking warriors with helmets, shields and axes. They make their way to the shore, and there they set fire to a Viking boat. Why? I think it represents the burial ceremony of the great chieftains and their final journey to Valhalla.
Speaker F.
You must visit New York in March during the St. Patrick's Day parade. I'm so glad I did. Wow, what a party. It's a huge Irish festival and bigger than anything in Ireland. People wear green, the traditional colour of Ireland, even if they aren't Irish, and watch the parade on the street or on television. I bought a green hat and joined in. For lunch, I had a green bagel and a green Coke.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the texts again. Speaker A.
The Calgary Stampede is held for 10 days in July. We call it the largest outdoor show on earth. Over 1 million visitors attend it every year. There's a rodeo, wagon racing, agricultural exhibitions and concerts. Come and see for yourself. And apart from having a great time, you will also support our social and educational programs. As a percentage of all the money we spend at the Stampede, from parking and admission to foods and drinks, goes there.
Speaker B.
The Notting Hill Carnival in London is a Caribbean festival. I went to see it with my mum when I was 5. The only thing I remember, though, is that it was terribly crowded. No wonder. After all, it's one of the biggest street festivals in the world. Stupidly, I wandered off, but due to the deafening music, I couldn't hear Mum calling my name. I was carried away by the moving crowd and got lost. I was so terrified that I didn't go back to the festival for years after that.
Speaker C.
My first Glastonbury was in 1984. It was the coolest music festival of all, and cheap at only £13. Over the years, I saw all my favourite bands there live. Great bands they were, too. Quality music. Now the tickets are over £200, and some of the performers are, well, let's just say they're not my cup of tea. And the people who go there, so-called celebrities who want to be seen at something cool. I stopped going years ago.
Speaker D.
Several years ago, I was in St. Petersburg during the White Nights Festival. There was so much to see and do. Romantic strolls by the banks of the river and canals on warm summer nights, the streets full of happy faces, and such a wealth of events. Magnificent classical ballet and opera performances by the greatest artists, as well as a concert by the Rolling Stones. And, unbelievably, I watched a pretend naval battle with pirates in boats on the River Neva.
Speaker E.
There's nothing like Apellihar, I tell you. A fire festival in Scotland. There's a torch-lit procession to show the sun's return after the winter solstice. The torchbearers are all dressed as fierce Viking warriors with helmets, shields and axes. They make their way to the shore, and there they set fire to a Viking boat. Why? I think it represents the burial ceremony of the great chieftains and their final journey to Valhalla.
Speaker F.
You must visit New York in March during the St. Patrick's Day Parade. I'm so glad I did. Wow, what a party. It's a huge Irish festival and bigger than anything in Ireland. People wear green, the traditional colour of Ireland, even if they aren't Irish, and watch the parade on the street or on television. I bought a green hat and joined in. For lunch, I had a green bagel and a green Coke.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers. Задание 2. Вы услышите диалог. Определите, какие из приведенных утверждений A, G соответствуют содержанию текста 1. True. Какие не соответствуют 2. False. И о чем в тексте не сказано. То есть на основании текста нельзя дать ни положительного, ни отрицательного ответа. 3. Not stated. Занесите номер выбранного вами варианта ответа в таблицу. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием. Now we are ready to start.
Hello, Mrs. Fusspot, and thanks for coming in. Do sit down. I think I've got the perfect cottage for you. It came on the market this morning.
Thank you, young man. You know, it's taken far longer than I expected, and I'm rather anxious to move from my present home.
I do understand your hurry, Mrs. Fusspot. It must be very hard to have such inconsiderate next-door neighbours. The children playing in their garden, the dog barking, birthday parties, family gatherings and so on. I don't know how you put up with it.
Well, when you reach my age, young man, you learn the value of patience. Now, tell me about this cottage you found.
Oh, it's just lovely. Far better than anything else you've seen. So charming. A beautiful rose garden and magnificent trees. A short walk to the beach and the village shops and post office. If you would be so kind as to look at these photos. Here you are.
It does have a certain charm. Is it 19th century?
Actually, no. It dates from 1798, so technically it's an 18th century building. And look, you can see the date inscribed over the door.
Oh, yes. What about the price?
Well, it's £20,000 over your budget. But I do believe it's worth the extra cash. Here, have a look at the beautiful fireplace in the living room and the high ceilings in all the rooms. There are 3 bedrooms in all, and I know you specified that 2 would be enough. But you could use the 3rd as a library, or open it up to the back garden and use it as a patio. You could sit out there on warm summer evenings and enjoy the view of the sea.
That's a very nice suggestion, but I don't know the first thing about renovating and remodelling houses. I'm not sure I want the fuss, the mess or the delay.
Leave that to me, Mrs. Fusspot. I can recommend a builder who could do the job for a good price and quickly. He'll be in and out in no time at all.
We'll see about that. When can I view the property? Tomorrow?
Why, wait. The seller is no longer living there, so we won't be disturbing anyone. My car is parked just outside.
Fine, let's see it then. I hope it's as good close-up as it is in the photos.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you'll hear the text again.
Hello, Mrs. Fusspot, and thanks for coming in. Do sit down. I think I've got the perfect cottage for you. It came on the market this morning.
Thank you, young man. You know, it's taken far longer than I expected, and I'm rather anxious to move from my present home.
I do understand your hurry, Mrs. Fusspot. It must be very hard to have such inconsiderate next-door neighbours. The children playing in their garden, the dog barking, birthday parties, family gatherings and so on. I don't know how you put up with it.
Well, when you reach my age, young man, you learn the value of patience. Now, tell me about this cottage you found.
Oh, it's just lovely. Far better than anything else you've seen. So charming. A beautiful rose garden and magnificent trees. A short walk to the beach and the village shops and post office. If you would be so kind as to look at these photos. Here you are.
It does have a certain charm. Is it 19th century?
Actually, no. It dates from 1798, so technically it's an 18th century building. And look, you can see the date inscribed over the door.
Oh, yes. What about the price?
Well, it's £20,000 over your budget. But I do believe it's worth the extra cash. Here, have a look at the beautiful fireplace in the living room and the high ceilings in all the rooms. There are 3 bedrooms in all, and I know you specified that 2 would be enough. But you could use the 3rd as a library, or open it up to the back garden and use it as a patio. You could sit out there on warm summer evenings and enjoy the view of the sea.
That's a very nice suggestion, but I don't know the first thing about renovating and remodelling houses. I'm not sure I want the fuss, the mess or the delay.
Leave that to me, Mrs. Fusspot. I can recommend a builder who could do the job for a good price and quickly. He'll be in and out in no time at all.
We'll see about that. When can I view the property? Tomorrow?
Why, wait. The seller is no longer living there, so we won't be disturbing anyone. My car is parked just outside.
Fine, let's see it then. I hope it's as good close-up as it is in the photos.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers. Задание 3.9. Вы услышите интервью. В заданиях 3.9 запишите в поле ответа цифру 1, 2 или 3, соответствующую выбранному вами варианту ответа. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 50 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями. Now we're ready to start.
What comes to mind, listeners, when you think of rabbits? Is it the Easter Bunny or Bugs Bunny? Or maybe you think of cute furry little creatures with long ears and funny teeth. Rabbits are popular pets in many countries, but in one they are really dangerous. Here to tell us about these rabbits is Simon Hearn, a research scientist. So, Simon, it's almost too silly to be true. Are there really vicious rabbits somewhere in the world?
Well, not in the way you might be thinking. They're not bloodthirsty monsters that physically attack anyone, but they are responsible for major economic and environmental effects in Australia.
How is that possible? They look so innocent.
Well, let's start at the beginning, shall we? With the history of Europeans in Australia, and then we'll move on to discuss the arrival of the rabbits there. Now, in the 17th century, a number of European explorers sailed the coast of Australia, which was then known as New Holland.
New Holland? Really? I had no idea. I suppose the obvious question is why?
Ah, yes, that's because the first European to explore the land was Willem Janszoon, a Dutchman. Not surprisingly, he named it after his own homeland. The explorers who followed were from Spain, England, France, Sweden, and many more from Holland. But they didn't stay there to colonize the land. It wasn't until 1770 that Captain James Cook claimed it for Britain. 8 years later, the British began sending their criminals there for punishment. The first group arrived in Sydney on 26th of January 1788. It consisted of 11 ships carrying 1,500 people and their supplies, including European rabbits. Now, these rabbits were not wild and did not spread to other areas. They were probably kept in cages for food. But in 1859, 24 wild rabbits were released by a farmer in Australia's south for hunting. He had no idea what that would eventually lead to. 40 years later, the rabbits had spread to the rest of the country, except for the wet tropical forest areas in the north, and had become a major pest and a huge problem.
But Australia is massive. Surely the rabbits couldn't cover such a large area.
Oh, but they can. Rabbits increase their populations very quickly indeed. Did you know that one female rabbit can produce 30 to 40 young a year?
Oh my goodness, there would be billions of rabbits in no time at all.
Yes, that's exactly what happened. And as their numbers increased, they began competing for food, and so they had to move to other areas in order to eat. Those billions of wild rabbits caused a lot of economic damage as they crossed the land. They destroyed farmland for crops, such as wheat and cotton, and grazing areas for sheep and cows. As I'm sure you know, Australia's biggest exports are wheat, beef and wool. So the rabbits have had a major impact on the economy.
And the environmental damage?
That's equally bad. Rabbits destroy the land by creating underground tunnels, known as burrows, and by eating plants. They can completely stop plants from regrowing. Because of this, many plant species have become extinct. Rabbits even compete with cows and sheep for grass.
I imagine Australia has tried to control the problem.
Oh, yes. One of the earliest methods was to build long fences to keep the rabbits away. But that didn't work. Since then, scientists have resorted to other measures.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the text again.
What comes to mind, listeners, when you think of rabbits? Is it the Easter Bunny or Bugs Bunny? Or maybe you think of cute furry little creatures with long ears and funny teeth. Rabbits are popular pets in many countries, but in one they are really dangerous. Here to tell us about these rabbits is Simon Hearn, a research scientist. So, Simon, it's almost too silly to be true. Are there really vicious rabbits somewhere in the world?
Well, not in the way you might be thinking. They're not bloodthirsty monsters that physically attack anyone, but they are responsible for major economic and environmental effects in Australia.
How is that possible? They look so innocent.
Well, let's start at the beginning, shall we? With the history of Europeans in Australia, and then we'll move on to discuss the arrival of the rabbits there. Now, in the 17th century, a number of European explorers sailed the coast of Australia, which was then known as New Holland.
New Holland? Really? I had no idea. I suppose the obvious question is why?
Ah, yes, that's because the first European to explore the land was Willem Janszoon, a Dutchman. Not surprisingly, he named it after his own homeland. The explorers who followed were from Spain, England, France, Sweden, and many more from Holland. But they didn't stay there to colonize the land. It wasn't until 1770 that Captain James Cook claimed it for Britain. 8 years later, the British began sending their criminals there for punishment. The first group arrived in Sydney on 26th of January 1788. It consisted of 11 ships carrying 1,500 people and their supplies, including European rabbits. Now, these rabbits were not wild and did not spread to other areas. They were probably kept in cages for food. But in 1859, 24 wild rabbits were released by a farmer in Australia's south for hunting. He had no idea what that would eventually lead to. 40 years later, the rabbits had spread to the rest of the country, except for the wet tropical forest areas in the north, and had become a major pest and a huge problem.
But Australia is massive. Surely the rabbits couldn't cover such a large area.
Oh, but they can. Rabbits increase their populations very quickly indeed. Did you know that one female rabbit can produce 30 to 40 young a year?
Oh my goodness, there would be billions of rabbits in no time at all.
Yes, that's exactly what happened. And as their numbers increased, they began competing for food, and so they had to move to other areas in order to eat. Those billions of wild rabbits caused a lot of economic damage as they crossed the land. They destroyed farmland for crops, such as wheat and cotton, and grazing areas for sheep and cows. As I'm sure you know, Australia's biggest exports are wheat, beef, and wool, so the rabbits have had a major impact on the economy.
And the environmental damage?
That's equally bad. Rabbits destroy the land by creating underground tunnels, known as burrows, and by eating plants. They can completely stop plants from regrowing. Because of this, many plant species have become extinct. Rabbits even compete with cows and sheep for grass.
I imagine Australia has tried to control the problem.
Oh, yes. One of the earliest methods was to build long fences to keep the rabbits away. But that didn't work. Since then, scientists have resorted to other measures.